Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
With us first today, from Washington, is the Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Vivek Murthy. Last Thursday, he released the report, Facing Addiction in America, a landmark report on a problem that has grown very large. Surgeon General Murthy, welcome back to On Point. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be with you.
We want to get into how families actually deal with this, but take us to your big message first. It's been half a century since we'd have a report quite like this, and the last time it was about tobacco. This time you're looking at opioids and addiction. What's the big message that you're looking to send to Americans as they gather this week for the holidays?
Well, thank you, Tom. With the report that we released last Thursday, I'm declaring addiction a public health crisis and calling our country to action to address it. You know, for far too long, people in America have struggled and suffered in the shadows without being able to come forward and ask for help for fear that they'll be judged. But for far too long, we've also treated addiction as a criminal justice problem instead of a public health problem. And it's time for us to change that, which is why I'm issuing this report.
When you say addiction, are you differentiating between the sources of addiction, whether alcohol or opioids or you name it?
So in the report that we issued, we cover a range of substances, from legal substances like alcohol and prescription painkillers to illicit substances like heroin, cocaine, and marijuana.
So you've got the whole range there, and among the things you're saying is one that sounded familiar to me, and yet you're putting it forward as though it's new, or maybe there's a nuance I'm missing, that this is not a moral failing, but a chronic disease. We've been hearing that for a long time. What's the nuance you want us to hear there?
Well, what I have found, Tom, when I have, in both my practice of medicine and caring for patients directly, and also as Surgeon General talking to families all across America, is that the negative attitudes and biases that surround addiction are still persistent, and we haven't fully broken through the way we need to. There are still far too many people who look at addiction as evidence of a character flaw or a moral failing. And in the report, we actually lay out very clearly that addiction is, in fact, a chronic disease of the brain. We go into the neurobiology that tells us the specific areas of the brain that are, in fact, impacted by addiction, where the circuitry is, in fact, rewired. And these areas affect our ability to make decisions, to control impulses, and ultimately govern our reward and stress systems as well.
Why do you think we're seeing such a wave of addiction in this country? Why do you think it's mounted up to a public health crisis, as you've now declared it?
I think there are several reasons why we've gotten to the point that we are today. And let's just define where we are today. We have 20.8 million people who have a substance use disorder. That is similar to the number of people who have diabetes. That is 1.5 times the number of people who have all cancers combined. But despite this, only 1 in 10 people with substance use disorders are actually getting treatment. And imagine if only 1 in 10 people with cancer were getting treatment, or 1 in 10 people with diabetes. We wouldn't tolerate such a situation, but we've allowed that to develop with substance use disorders. And here's why we got here. Number one, the stigma around substance use disorders prevented a lot of people from coming forward and asking for help and admitting they had a problem. Number two, we didn't invest enough in treatment. So we have, for example, proven treatment methods that save $4 in healthcare costs for every $1 invested, and $7 in criminal justice system costs. But millions of people can't get that treatment. And lastly, we didn't invest enough in prevention programs on a community level. We have prevention programs that return up to $64 for every dollar invested, yet they are rare when you look around our country. So if we had invested more in prevention and treatment, if we had changed how we thought about addiction, we wouldn't be in this place. But it's not too late for us to act, and that's why I issued this report.
I guess I'm
call to action.
Yeah, I get everything you're saying there, and but I'm still wondering why. Why not? If it's not, a lot of people look at this, as you say, and think, well, there's a weakness in falling for this stuff. If we've got a bigger problem now than we've had in the past, what is that? Is it about something within us, in our mindset? Is it simply about availability? What's going on?
Well, I think there's several factors that have changed. We've seen in recent years, for example, that heroin has become even more available at cheaper prices. That has certainly factored in. We've also seen that there has been a dramatic increase, in fact, a nearly fourfold increase in the quantity of opioid medications prescribed for pain, which has in part driven the addiction to prescription painkillers and has been associated with a near quadrupling in overdose deaths. So these are just a couple of the factors that have gone into the mix that have contributed to the crisis that we have now.
I want to put you directly in conversation with a caller from Detroit, if I may, Dr. Murthy. Surgeon General of the United States, you're on with Terry in Detroit. Terry, thank you for calling. What's your story?
Hi. Yeah, I lost my son to addiction a couple years ago, and still hurts. But in the process, the court system had him, the health industry, health insurance industry, we tried to get him help. I dropped them off on Christmas Eve one year of all days, and they turned around and wanted to kick him out 2 days later because he wasn't that bad.
From a treatment center, yeah.
My question, I guess, would be, why can't the health insurance companies, you know, look at the long-term mental health treatment that these kids need, not just the addiction part of it, but the mental illness? Let's just say what it is. You know, it's a mental illness along with addiction, and, you know, the kids need help.
Terry, what was the drug? What was the drug that claimed your son? And I'm sorry for it, but what was it, Terry?
He ended up getting a hold of some morphine tablets from a so-called acquaintance. And who knows, maybe his parents had it. Morphine tablets,
And it took him down. Terry, I'm very sorry for that loss. Vivek Murthy, you're Surgeon General of the United States. There's a father who took his son to a treatment center on Christmas Eve, but, you know, they wouldn't keep him and kicked him out. And he's wondering about what if it's a chronic disease, how does health insurance come into this picture?
Well, Terry, first of all, thank you for sharing your story. And I am so sorry about your son. No parent should ever be in a situation where they have to bury their child. And as a dad myself, who has a young son, my heart goes out to you. You know, I wish that your son had the treatment available to him that he needed. I wish this had never started in the first place. What I can tell you is that in this report, we are calling on insurance companies and on doctors and hospitals to do a better job of ensuring that people who need treatment can actually get it for the full duration. We have a myth that some people believe in our country that you only need a couple of weeks of treatment and then you're cured from any type of addiction. That is actually not how treatment for addiction works. People need acute treatment, but then they also need long-term treatment and support with medical professionals and the support of family. And without that, relapse rates are actually quite high. So I'm so sorry that treatment was not available to the extent that your son needed it, but I want you to know that is a big part of what we're pushing for here. And you should also know that there was a law recently passed, referred to as the Parity Law, which has now made it illegal for insurance companies to discriminate in how they treat addiction and mental health disorders compared with how they treat traditional medical disorders. And that's one step forward, but we got to make sure that doctors are trained in how to provide this treatment, that insurers cover it, and that hospitals integrate it with medical treatment.
You can call on hospitals and treatment centers, but that's not the same as ensuring it's going to happen. I mean, it often boils down to the business they're in. Is there a requirement that they cover treatment for addiction?
Well, so there are steps that have been taken that make that actually part of our reality. Number one, in the Affordable Care Act, we now have the provision of substance use treatment services part of what all insurance companies have to provide. Number two, the Parity Law makes sure that it's reimbursed at a level that's more commensurate with traditional medical care. But third, there has been a significant shift in our country in payment models, some of that spurred by the Affordable Care Act, but also taken on by private industry, which is now involves paying more for outcomes and value than for the quantity of services provided. And in that model, we're seeing more insurers and health systems starting to shift toward integrating substance use and mental health treatment in with traditional care.
Dr. Murthy, what's your advice for families, many gathering for Thanksgiving, of course, this week, and this could well be a circumstance in which these issues surface, or family members talk about someone in the family who needs help, or decide it's time to confront, address. You've got a portion in your report on intervention. What do you, you know, we kind of know what that looks like from the movies, but what do you think of it?
Well, I think families have an essential role to play in helping us address addiction in America. In the report, we actually lay out specific actions that various stakeholders can take, and families are one of them. But simply starting the conversation with your loved ones about addiction, it can be a powerful first step, because many of the people I have met across America who are suffering with a substance use disorder, they want to talk to someone, a family member or friend, but they worry that there's not a safe space to do that, or that they may be judged. It's also important to know what signs to look out for in your loved ones. You might find that if you, for example, see mood changes, you know, with irritability and defensiveness, if you start to see new problems at school and work in terms of attendance and performance and grades, if you see folks who have suddenly a new attitude where nothing seems to matter, or new friends that they're not telling you about, or a loss of interest and involvement in prior interests, these are all signs that something may be amiss. And it's not definitively that it's a substance use disorder, but it might be. But starting that conversation, whether it's over the Thanksgiving holidays or at other times, that can be a powerful first step to giving people a safe space to open up and ask for help.
Dr. Vivek Murthy is Surgeon General of the United States. His big report out last week, Facing Addiction in America, you can link to at our website, onpointradio.org. Dr. Murthy, thank you very much for being with us today.
No problem. Thank you so much, Tom.